urges, cosmic urges, electronic universe. Lock your belts, let's fly high. In this moment, we're into the unknown.
Hey, this is Mike Nelson, formerly of Mystery Science Theater 3000 until I got fired. You're listening to WRCT 88.3 FM, which is a heck of a lot better than having the top of your head sawed off and having vinegar poured in.
Over the past few years, the COVID-19 pandemic has affected how we live our daily lives.
Today, one in five Americans experience emotional and mental health challenges, but many of us do not understand what we are facing or how to ask for help.
At the American Psychiatric Association Foundation, we work every day to eliminate stigma, combat mental illness and substance use disorders, and advance mental health.
If you or someone you love needs help, you are not alone. Please visit mentallyhealthynation.org to learn more.
Hello, I'm Dr. Ruth Westheimer, and if you listen to WRCT Pittsburgh, you know that in most cases, size does not matter. I'm Dr. Ruth Westheimer, and if you listen to WRCT Pittsburgh, you know that in most cases, size does not matter.
Paga, paga. Yeah. fare una pace. Con i miei potere mi faccio. E ne è una fombra a mesce. Amare a me è un uomo. A me è due. E si muove niente. Da me nascirai. Nasci io. Mi sembra c'è la mia. Mi sembra c'è la mia. Mi dimmi che non vai a sedo.
Alla cori, alla coco, show my family. Timpak bewa, shuma kako. She mo money problem, pelu boys. Tabaja kapada, asalo Canada. If I travel today, give my baila baba. Ami man, ama ami man, ami man, ama brother man. Only ni problem, baby show up. Shani di mi king call. Mula yelo wajeku, iru ele yo money problem. Melanin, popin, baby mi show nita. Baby, such a give you fit that. Body do need that, oh yeah. What would you do that? Show me capital business. Show me character, dukiness. Can you wake up around 4:30? To make breakfast for me. Go by the leisure, gimme, gimme. Gimme, gimme, come up on me, chiggy. Gimme, gimme, come up on me, chiggy. Oh, long time ago, I said, no, okay, if you make me conform. Oh yeah, oh come me more corner. Now I do am, now I run up. Oh yeah, very jet you get. I'll pick you up, don't you picky get. Mama say I don't fall in love. And my papa say I'm a child love. Baby show up all. Show me the making call. Mula yelo wajeku. Iru ele yo money problem. Melanin, papi. Baby, me show you that. Baby, such a give you fit that. Body do need that, oh yeah. What would you do that? Show me capital business. Show me character, dickiness. Can you wake up around 4:30? To make breakfast for me. Go by the leisure, gimme, gimme. Gimme, gimme, come up on me, chiggy. Gimme, gimme, come up on me, chiggy.
Down for my many times I didn't miss you. Go, go, need to say you with the but this one weak me, make a no lie. But I my eye when I think of you. But you know now you for don't jaye. Why don't give me, make me stronger. But this one weak me, make a no lie. Hello, hello, vitamin C. Mommy, my fidget, my melanin queen. Fine girl, no pimple. Classy and simple. Mommy, can you see me now? What about what down for my many, many times I didn't see you.
Extra pressure, baby, when you wind on.
For more, she finally. you on our team. You're too slow and fat.
This is weight bias.
Don't you care how you look?
Those with the serious disease called obesity face weight bias every day.
You're not the right fit for this job.
And blame themselves.
I wish I was different.
Weight bias hurts.
Let's stop weight bias.
Be part of the solution.
Go to stopweightbias.com. A public service message from Obesity Action Coalition.
You are listening to Ebony Spectrum and In Black America here on WRCT Pittsburgh, WRCT.org.
Hey y'all, what's up? It's Friday, so I'm going to keep it black, but I'm going to keep it brief. Plane headed from Kansas collided with a military helicopter over Washington, D.C. 67 people died. There were no survivors. Passengers included top figure skaters from the U.S. and Russia, a young professor from Howard, a lawyer, and a young pilot. And you raggedy bitches blamed it on DEI? When discussing the crash, Trump cited old, outdated, and scientifically voided eugenics ideology when he said regarding the Federal Aviation Administration, we have a high standard. And there are things where you have to go by brain power. You have to go by psychological quality. That the various very powerful tests that we put to use to test employees were terminated by Biden. All this after generalizing Biden's diversity efforts by saying that he said FAA was too white. And it's clear to me, by the way, DEI is being weaponized in this current moment that the conservatives are trying to die on the hill that DEI is affirmative action hiring without any consideration of qualifications or fitness for a position. This is evidence again when just the day before the crash, 19 attorney generals sent a letter trying to bully Costco into abandoning DEI, warning them to stop their pushback after Costco has already said twice, girl, fuck you. In this letter, these attorney generals expressed the following: an urgency for Costco to end all unlawful discrimination imposed by the company through diversity, equity, and inclusion. Huh? That Costco should treat every person equally and based on their merit rather than based on divisive and discriminatory DEI practices. Divisive and discriminatory DEI practices is an oxymoron. And as I was reading this letter that cited the constitutions and the foundations of equality and all that jazz, it reads very clearly to me that what the government means by DEI and what Costco and the rest of us mean by DEI are two different things. A simple Google search revealed to me that on page one of their document outlining their commitment to DEI, it says that they strive to empower their workforce and strengthen their culture by creating an environment where all employees feel a sense of belonging, that they are accepted, included, and respected and supported because of who they are, regardless of who they are. Interesting. Then it goes on to say, it has always been Costco's policy that employees deserve an environment free of all forms of unlawful employment discrimination, that all decisions regarding recruiting, hiring, promotion, assignment, training, termination will be made without unlawful discrimination on the basis of race, color, national origin, ancestry, sex, sexual orientation, gender identity or expression, religion, age, pregnancy, disability, work-related energy, covered military or veteran status, political ideology or expression, genetic information, martial status, or other protected status. Mind you, this is the first paragraph. Their efforts to create an inclusive and respectful workplace include but are not limited to a chief diversity officer, conversation starters on topics like unconscious bias, microaggressions, allyship, and the like, giving these folks an additional holiday of their choosing, whichever applies to them, Juneteenth, Indigenous Peoples Day, or Veterans Day. They even offer a race-based breakdown of their workforce composition, and on both the management and non-management sides, it's still majority white, in keeping with the percentage of the white population in the United States. Crickets? Oh, okay. So my question is, how many attorney generals does it take to review a DEI policy? But oh, we can only make sense out of nonsense. They were being earnest in their claims to halt race-based discrimination. Do you know they told Costco that instead of worrying about DEI, they need to worry about the slave labor in China they've been accused of doing? I know y'all lying. Not when a man known to use slave labor in the Congo was standing behind a podium on Inauguration Day, and a man who used exploitative labor to ensure America's benefit from two-day and even same-day shipping was right beside him. JP Morgan Chase also said no, and y'all don't seem to be on their asses. I wonder why that is. Now, of all the people that did buckle under pressure, Target is the most surprising to me. And that's only because we burned their shit down twice over police killings in 2020. And the CEO stuck beside us even then. Y'all been partnering with and uplifting black business owners, products, and influencers, standing on business for years, and all of a sudden you just want to pull the rug out from underneath us? And y'all mad at Tabitha Brown? Yeah, she's got Donna's hair care, but the majority of her products are Target and or Walmart online. What, you expected her to have a contingency plan? Would she find it the same time, the same way we did? Yeah, we can boycott because that sounds cool. That sounds revolutionary. But these things take time and effort and evaluation of how they will affect our people and our communities that rely on these resources. Yes, I know that's how it works. I know they are counting on us to be dependent on them, but they are not counting on us to play the long game and create avenues to ensure every individual in our community is able to sustain efforts of resistance. There's also more than one way to skin a cat, people. We can boycott Target altogether, sure. Or we can only purchase minority-owned products from them, creating a flux in supply and demand that would severely impact the health and stability of their business. However, still, black people only make up 15% of the population, so it's got to be more than us. Everybody affected has to lean in, and we have to do it together. The steamrolling is scary, and it seems to be relentless, but it is slowing down, so do not be discouraged. Give the people and yourself an opportunity to adjust and resist.
That was Lene Vinay with her commentary, her weekly commentary, and she is now on Instagram in case you're looking for her. She's not on YouTube right now, but she's on Instagram now. Next up, we have something from Native Land Podcasters.
A special and sad edition of Native Land Pod. I am your host, Angela Rye. Shout out to my hosts, Tiffany Cross and Andrew Gillum, in their absence today, but you all will be hearing from them, I'm sure, very soon on some solo pods. We're trying something new where we are going to do a side pod or a solo pod when there are issues that are pressing that we just want to get in front of you and make sure that we're in community with you talking about what's going on. So we are on YouTube Live, and I want to talk to you all about this memo that came from Matthew J. Vaith, the acting director of the Office of Management and Budget. Everyone is aware of this right now by the federal funding freeze. And let me tell you what's not frozen: your tax payments. They are still expecting your taxpayer dollars to fund these initiatives. And I want to go into just briefly what this funding freeze is calling for. And first, let me make sure my laptop is plugged in so I don't lose y'all along the way. here's the thing. We should talk about what Donald Trump actually has the power to do and the power that Donald Trump is going to test during his presidency. We will talk about what is at stake with this potential funding freeze, what is being asked of different agency heads, cabinet secretaries and officials, et cetera. And we'll talk about the potential violation of the law. If there is time, we will get to a few other executive orders, which also may be of importance. I'm telling our producer, Lolo, I forgot to call her, so she should just make sure that she texts me just in case there's anything she wants to flag. So I first want to just mention that we will be doing these lives pretty regularly, at least every Tuesday. So you will hear from us on Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday for sure. We're working through a Wednesday and Friday option as well. Now, this is the memo, okay? This is the memo we're looking at. This is from the Executive Office of the President, Office of Management and Budget Control, Management and Budget. Here's what you all need to know. There is broad sweeping authority that OMB, that's what Office of Management and Budget, has. In this memo, the acting director, because Donald Trump's nominee has not yet been confirmed by the Senate, the person who will be confirmed by the Senate most likely is a man named Russ Vought, and he is a prior OMB director. And it is very, very chilling. And let me tell you why. You know that podcast we did on what is Project 2025? And you know how a lot of folks were blowing off this whole idea of Project 2025? Well, the thing is real. And it was sworn in on Martin Luther King Day. And he is controlled by many parts. This is Stephen Miller's White House. Donald Trump is not running this thing. His deputy chief of staff for policy is. And you remember how Donald Trump tried to distance himself from Project 2025. And he even put out his own thing, the Agenda 47, right? Well, let me tell you something. Project 2025 is coming to fruition every single day. Russell Vought, who wrote the chapter about OMB and Project 2025, is who Donald Trump is seeking to confirm for OMB. Now, this is what I want to tell you that he says. On page 20, so you guys can fact check me, okay? On page 20 in Project 2025, they quote Russell Vought as saying, OMB should establish a reputation as the keeper of commander's intent. Yet OMB is dominated by career employees who often try to overrule political appointees serving in the various executive departments. Empowering political appointees across the administration is crucial to a president's success. Now, what does that have to do with this federal funding freeze today? Well, this is putting the power back into the hands of Donald Trump's political appointees. So this is how this memo starts, because a lot of you are reading the articles, but you aren't necessarily seeing what is in the actual document. So it's a short document. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but there's a couple of points I want to share with you. It starts with, the American people elected Donald J. Trump to be president of the United States and gave him a mandate to increase the impact of every federal taxpayer dollar. They go on to say that the federal government spends nearly $10 trillion spent nearly $10 trillion in fiscal year 2024. And more than $3 trillion of that was for federal financial assistance, such as grants and loans. They go on to kind of demonstrate why the loan money, why the grant money that has been spent in this $3 trillion number should be reviewed. This is what they say that I think is important for you all to know. Financial assistance should be dedicated to advancing administration priorities, focusing taxpayer dollars to advance a stronger and safer America, eliminating the financial burden of inflation for citizens. I think we generally agree with that. Unleashing American energy and manufacturing. Let's talk about what they mean by unleash. There's an executive order for that, by the way. Ending wokeness. We don't even say that no more. But ending wokeness and the weaponization of government. You know what they mean by that. Read between the lines. Also read the executive orders that support that language. Promoting efficiency in government. That's that DOGE entity that Elon Musk is running. And making America healthy again, which is where they hope to put RFK Jr. So this is the thing. They go on to say the use of federal resources to advance Marxist equity, now striving for equity, equality, and justice is a Marxist concept. Transgenderism and Green New Deal social engineering policies is a waste of taxpayer dollars that does not improve the day-to-day lives of those who we serve, they say. Now, y'all, they have mastered weaponizing our language against us. The Green New Deal is to preserve the planet for folks who look like me and you a little longer. The Green New Deal is about ensuring that Flint has clean drinking water. When they talk about transgenderism, we're talking about making sure that all humans have access to resources and the ability to survive, regardless of whatever identity you claim. And then Marxist equity, again, we're talking about the policies that began to really take root and take hold after George Floyd was murdered on camera for 9 minutes and 30 seconds. Many of us thought for the first time in our black lives, our brown lives, our indigenous lives, or whatever lives, maybe your white lives too, that things were going to finally shift, that we were going to finally see justice served. And little do we know that it was a marketing ploy on behalf of many companies, including Target, that is now trying to dial back where George Floyd was killed. Imagine that. And entities, that, including those in the federal government, weren't going to push this for too long. And now they're trying to blame our focus on diversity, equity, and inclusion for why Democrats lost the election, because, you know, justice should not be served for the least of these. And here's what I take real issue with this particular executive memo. The people who will be hurt the most are the most vulnerable amongst us. They are the people who benefited greatly from a Trump check, right? From that stimulus payment, from a STEMI. They are the folks who thought that they would get a second chance in this administration because that check meant so much. I understand it, but now some of the things that you rely on every single day to keep your lights on are now in harm's way. So what they say in the next part of this memo is that each agency must complete a comprehensive analysis of all of their federal financial assistance programs. They're requiring a temporary pause on all activities related to obligation or disbursement of all federal financial assistance. That means they're not cutting no checks right now. It's a temporary pause that was effective as of yesterday at 5 p.m. I'm sorry, today at 5 p.m. And it is in effect until February 10th. So there may be things that you're waiting on. Maybe you were approved for a federal grant. Maybe you were approved for an SBA loan. Depending on the criteria of that grant or loan, you could be in harm's way. So that is what I want to flag for you. Lolo, text me if there are any questions that come up along the way. Now, the other thing that I think is highly dangerous is it says in the paragraph, this is the second page, this is the paragraph right above the bottom. It says that OMB may grant exceptions, allowing federal agencies to issue new awards or take other actions on a case-by-case basis. What does that mean? That means that it is solely up to their discretion. That means that it is a super subjective standard. And the folks who rely on agency funding because they are one of a few, because they are a woman-owned business or a minority-owned business, or doing work that would impact Black maternal health, or some of the things, some of my most important work that I'm the most proud of on Capitol Hill was helping to advance centers of excellence at HBCUs when I worked for the wonderful Congressman Thompson on the Homeland Security Committee. That funding is now all at risk, right? There are centers of excellence in all types of industry and spaces and different interests. All of that is at risk. A lot of folks have been saying, we were just talking on our pre-production call before we started about whether or not SNAP benefits, those EBT cards that folks use to buy food at the stores and to keep groceries, you know, in their homes, whether or not school lunches for kids would be impacted, whether or not affordable housing would be impacted. Well, here's the thing. This memo is super vague, talking about Marxist equity and Green New Deal social engineering policies and all of that with intention. And some of you may be saying, well, how is this even legal, right? Like, the executive branch doesn't necessarily get to govern what is funded, because the United States House and the Congress, why is this? Oh, there it is. The United States House and Congress writ large has the obligation of controlling the purse strings. Let's go to why you all are saying that. In Article 1, Section 9, Clause 7, called the Appropriations Clause in the Constitution, states in pertinent part, no money shall be drawn from the Treasury but in consequence of appropriations made by law, and a regular statement and account of the receipts and expenditures of all public money shall be published from time to time. Now, this is about governing what is contained in the United States Treasury. Nothing can be paid out of the Treasury, according to the Supreme Court. Then, let's see if they hold it now. Nothing, no money can be paid out of the Treasury unless it has been appropriated by an act of Congress. Now, Donald Trump's administration is arguing something very interesting here. They are arguing that there may be a limitation on what can be spent. That is Congress's role, but that they can cut like there ain't no tomorrow under a doctrine that they call impoundment. So this means that they have control over cuts, but they don't have control of the spin of the purse strings. That is very, very dangerous. And it sounds like Donald Trump's administration is going to go hard to try to push this doctrine all the way to a court battle to the Supreme Court. Now, if this Supreme Court, the same one that decided that Donald Trump could not be civilly or criminally liable as a president, that he had civil and criminal immunity, sides with them on they can cut whatever they want as the executive branch, but they can't spend whatever they want. Y'all, we in danger. And that's what we really need to understand. This is a very, very serious memo. This current acting OMB director is pushing to broaden its authority and to ensure that the only people that can make these decisions about a federal spend are Donald Trump's political appointees. And here's what I think is scariest about this, you guys. None of this is surprising if you read Project 2025. We have got to stay informed. Y'all, we can't keep getting caught on our heels about what's to come, because people are not informed. We have to be informed. Yes, it is a 922-page document. Yes, it is imperative that you read it. Yes, you need to know that many of the people who Donald Trump has put in critical roles, including Stephen Miller, which, again, I would argue is running the White House, from the immigration ICE raids to all of the attacks on DEI, all of that is Stephen Miller's brainchild. That's not Donald Trump's thoughts. That is Stephen Miller. And he had to have him back in the White House because there's no ability for Donald Trump to think this way without Stephen Miller. He basically has ceded his entire presidency to Stephen Miller. That is a very dangerous thing. If you look up who Stephen Miller is, you'll understand why. So here is the other piece of this. You will also note that when you thumb through Project 25 and you see who wrote these pieces, you're going to recognize some of the names. I challenge you all to take Project 2025, the document, just the table of contents, and who wrote each chapter, and compare those names to who Donald Trump has nominated for positions in his cabinet and has put into the White House to work for him. You all will see a surprising number of similarities. And if you can see those similarities, you can go into those chapters and see that the executive orders and actions that have come out of this administration so far are no surprise at all. So those are the kinds of things that we need to be paying attention to right now. If you all don't have questions about Project 2025 and this federal funding freeze, then I'll go on to another executive order. Okay, Lolo sent me this. How does this freeze impact state-level programs? Well, everything in every single agency is under review, from the United States Department of Agriculture, the Department of Energy, USAID, because they talked about a global spend as well, the State Department, which oversees USAID, the Department of Commerce. Y'all remember the Minority Business Development Agency was challenged on its merits just last year. Department of Treasury, every single governmental agency, SBA, for those of you who have small business administration loans that you may have just qualified for, at risk, the Department of Transportation. We have, you guys know, if you go into your airports at home, you're seeing a lot of construction. It is annoying, but we'll all be happy when it's done. There are these projects, these highways that are being built. Any DBE, disadvantaged business enterprise, that is working on those projects, that's all under review now, right? Depending on the grants and the loans that have been let. So everything is on the chopping block because of this very vague memo. And we need to be mindful of that. That is what is at stake. Somebody asked how this can be legal. I kind of just went through that. Hopefully what I've said makes sense. I will go through a little more just to backtrack a little bit on OMB. Some of you all might be like, I didn't get here in time. What is OMB? It's the Office of Management and Budget. Its responsibility is to prepare every year. Presidents introduce a budget. So you guys will see, if for those of you who work on the Hill, you see those huge binders. When I worked on the Hill, we used to divide up the sections and be responsible for a section and analyze the sections of the various sections of the president's budget. Well, they send this huge document over by agency, line by line, how much money they're going to fund the federal government. The OMB director is responsible for pulling that fiscal year budget together and dispersing it to the Hill for approval through the appropriations process. They also oversee the implementation of the president's priorities across the executive branch. Most of the time what we've said on the Hill is you can tell what the president's priorities are based on how they choose to fund the federal government. After we receive the budget, the Hill, Congress, the House is responsible for passing appropriations measures that has to be signed off or also passed in the Senate. Sometimes they don't agree. And so there has to be what was called a reconciliation process. And then the agencies are funded based on what is appropriated. Now, again, what I was saying earlier is they are challenging the president's authority to cut. I think they're acknowledging on the spend that has to go through Congress. Again, be clear about the fact that most of Congress has bought into this president's agenda. So those of you who are like, well, it looks like SNAP benefits or the EBT cards might not be impacted, or kids' school lunches might not be impacted. What I would challenge you with is every single year, Republicans go after SNAP benefits. They try to cut them. I call the Congressional Black Caucus, and they are known to be the conscience of the Congress. Every year, that's a fight that they fight to ensure protection of those benefits. So that is what is at stake. And then you guys are asking what to do. The most important thing that I will give you right now is make sure you are reading. If we are reading ahead, I know it's stressful to be seeing all of these changes. You may have folks who've been impacted by the ICE raids. You may have folks who you know just qualified for a federal loan who you're like, I don't know if they're going to get to keep that money, or a grant, a research grant at a university, right? That is so scary. But we cannot bury ourselves in fear. We have to stay alert. And the most important way we can do that is by reading what's in front of us. Project 2025, been written. Heritage Foundation, been on this for years and years and years. Go and look. When you see the Koch brothers, Americans for Prosperity, and we hear about fiscal conservatism, that is what it is. It is about finding ways to cut corners so that they can ensure the rich keep their tax cuts, right? They don't ever have the money to increase minimum wage. They don't ever have the money to ensure that kids can have summer jobs. They don't ever have the money to ensure that centers of excellence are fully funded, or HBCUs and Hispanic serving institutions and the institutions, tribal colleges, ever have the money that they deserve. But they can always find that dollar for war and for tax cuts. And that's what we're up against right now. So I implore you to read Project 2025. I implore you to pay attention to these memos. Don't just take in the executive orders and actions that are coming out. Don't just take my word for it. Read it yourself. In the last paragraph of this memo, it talks about agencies having a responsibility to look into each financial assistance program in these three ways. Assign responsibility and oversight to a senior political appointee. Again, we know that that means that person thinks like Donald Trump. They are so concerned about career employees, federal government employees, that they haven't found you yet. I implore you to stay and make sure that you are serving the people as you know it is your obligation to do. You might not have had to take an oath, but we have to make sure that we keep people in place who will tell the truth about what this administration is doing. We need whistleblowers to talk about everything that is happening so that we can better prepare. The second thing it says is review currently pending federal financial assistance. Announcements to ensure administration priorities are addressed and subject to program statutory authority. Modify announcements, withdraw any announcements already published, and to the extent permissible by law, cancel awards already awarded if they are in conflict with this administration's priorities. Now, that may not be legal, but it first has to be challenged. So right now, what this says is the law of the land until it is challenged and until a federal court agrees with the more reasonable minds among us. And last, it says ensure adequate oversight of federal financial assistance programs. Initiate investigations when warranted to identify underperforming recipients and address identified issues up to and including cancellation of awards. Y'all, they put us on notice. They put us on notice that as of 5 p.m. today, everything that the federal government funds that is under these very, you know, ridiculous buckets, you know, wokeness and trans, the words that they use to make the American people afraid, transgenderism, Marxist equity, everything that they can squeeze into these buckets, they will. And that is to create more funding capacity for the rich. So, people are asking about what the courts can do. Yes, this has to be challenged in court. And for the person that said it's just an audit, it is far more than an audit, my friend. These programs are being frozen. The funds are not going to go out. They say in here that they are trying to find if any programs that fit in those buckets that I've named, the wokeness, Marxist equity, transgenderism, Green New Deal, all of those are subject to cancellation. Why? Because they don't fit in with the current administration's priorities. That is the language and the framework that they will use to cancel the programs. So for those of you who work in the federal government, for those of you who have federal funding, I am suggesting that you figure out a way to ensure that.
Thanks for tuning in. This is an experiment with time on WRCT Pittsburgh, 88.3 FM over the airwaves in the city of Pittsburgh. Streaming online to the world up on WRCT.org. Open up tonight's experiment with some